miscellaneous Roman animal jobs. Now, I've talked before about the miscellaneous jobs associated with gladiating, so it's only fair to cover miscellaneous jobs associated with animal contests, specifically beast fighting and chariot racing, because, you know, there's animals involved and we have to procure them and do other things. Now, during the height of Rome's power, there are probably more than 100 permanent arenas for chariot racing and gladiating contests scattered around the Roman world. Now, to make sure these venues had enough animals, there are two people that come into play to provide those creatures. One of them is called the Praepositus Camelorum, and the other one is the Mulo Medicus. Now, let me spell the first one for you. Praepositus, the first word, Praepositus. Camelorum is C-A-M-E-L-O-R-U-M. Now, the Praepositus Camelorum is actually the most important official as far as animal entertainments. This is like Mr. Ringling Brothers and Mr. Barnum and Bailey, you know, all these people tossed in the one. Because their job is, first of all, to round up the animals, to organize the rounding up of the animals. Then they have to, once they've got them, then they have to ship them. Then they have to get them to the arenas. And so they're going to have to deal with hundreds of subcontractors. They have to have hunters. They have to have people who make the cages. They have to have people that can ship them. They have to have people that receive them. They're going to have to feed them or have people with them to judge when you feed them, depending on what you're planning to do with the animal. And then, of course, once you get them to the position, you've got to have people to keep the animals alive. They're going to have to be trained. And as I said, they're also, you know, going to have to be fed. Now, animal contests are found and can also be found in the circus, which is the chariot racing venue. Normally, there would be some sort of animal contest or display or something that occurred between the races. The earliest one appears in records about 186 BC in the Circus Maximus. You would also, of course, have animal acts in the arena in between gladiating contests or other things. Now, what you usually found, you started off with displaying the animals. Wow, have you ever seen a tiger or a bear? So you'd have animals from all over the world that would be out on display. Well, that's okay. That's fun for a while. And, of course, then the people get bored, and so you have to raise their attention level. So the next thing is, well, you train them to do different things. They did tricks. For example, one of the things that the Romans liked is ostrich races. So you would race ostriches. I know here in Kansas City, we've got a horse track/dog track. And every once in a while, they have the dachshund races, the wiener dog races, where you bring your pet dog and race them. So, you know, we still like this odd stuff. Unfortunately, we also like some of the sick stuff, too, such as dog fighting. Then you have animal versus animal. So you will have animal fighting, although the Romans preferred different species fighting each other. Now, the downside of this is there's no PETA in ancient Rome. And the amount of animals slaughtered is just staggering. It's one of the things that, you know, when I talk about it in class and people will go, well, where did those animals come from? And I said, well, you know, they would get lions and other animals from North Africa. And they say, well, there's no lions in North Africa. Well, not now. But they used to be. I mean, they brought them from all over the empire. And, of course, they're going to be gradually stripping these areas of their animals. Bears were usually brought in from Germany. You have, of course, the lions, the elephants, all of that stuff coming from North Africa. You have animals shipped far away as India in some cases. Then after you do the animal versus animal, well, then we go one step up, which is what is called the ad bestis. And that is man versus animals. Now, normally, the man versus animal is a midday event in a gladiatorial arena. Well, and that's a plus, because if you remember from other podcasts I've done on gladiating, the midday, when people are kind of resting, getting something to drink and eat and other stuff, basically is nothing more than glorified execution of people. And this adds a little more fun and a little more excitement to that time period in between the opening events and the main events in the afternoon. As I mentioned before, Germany provided the bears. Leptis provided the elephants. Now, that's modern-day Libya. And, I mean, animals are just, you know, brought in from all over. And the process of gathering them up is quite astounding. But, you know, the amount of devastation is appalling. Now, the next job, the next Roman animal job is a lot better. For the animal lovers out there, this one will be a lot nicer. This is the job of the mulo medicus, mulomedicus. And if you remember from the miscellaneous gladiatorial jobs that I did, when I talked about the doctor, that the people who really are the doctors in ancient Rome are called medicus. So what we have, these are horse doctors. The mulo medicus is a horse doctor. Now, the Roman horses are bred in stud farms all over the empire for different breeds and all sorts of stuff. Okay, North Africa is where you would find the Numidian horses, which are great cavalry horses. Thrace and Thessaly, of course, provided the cavalry for Alexander the Great's troops. Then you have Sicily, you have Cappadocia, and then you have Spain. Now, the best race horses for chariot racing came from Spain. And there are two breeds that are particularly liked. One is the Lusitanian, and the other one is the Asturian. And so horses on these stud farms are then created for two purposes. They're either designed to be circus racetrack horses, chariot racing horses, or they're military horses. Now, the military horses come in two categories. One is the fighting cavalry and the scouting cavalry, and then pack animals. So you have larger animals that carry the products and everything, and of course then you have the fighting animals. The cavalry, the fighting horses, are then given a different training. Now, as far as the vets are concerned, they are experts at equine illnesses. They have studied scrolls and documents on all sorts of diseases, how to treat them. In addition, it's their responsibility, the mulo medicus's responsibility, is to document the horses, document their pedigree, the kind of traits that the horses have. So they're the ones providing the papers for the people buying the horses. Now, the horses on these stud farms are broken at the age of 2, and they're given some training. However, chariot racing horses aren't really good until they're 5 years old. So you have to be a 5-year-old horse to be purchased for a chariot racing team, and that requires even more training. Again, if you remember when I talked about chariot racing, if you have, and they have different types of races. They have 2-horse races, 4-horse races, and so on. There's all sorts of things. The 4-horse is everybody's favorite. But you have 4 horses, then they have 4 different jobs. For example, the horse on the inside of the racetrack has to know that when it gets to the corner, it has to slow its gait down. And the horse on the outside has to know to speed its gait up, because you have a living differential. If all 4 horses went into the corner at the same speed, the chariot would go out of control. So you have to train them to make those turns. That takes a lot of cost, a lot of expense, a lot of training. That's why the horses are much more important. To have a horse killed, or to have a horse injured in a chariot race that you have to kill it, is a catastrophe, because of the amount of investment involved. Now, this is a big deal. The Romans have an independent farm official who goes around regularly and inspects these stud farms to make sure the animals are being properly treated and raised and all sorts of other stuff. In addition, the Mulo Medicus, the really good ones, the high-end horse doctors, actually worked for racing factions. The reds, the greens, the blues, and the yellows, but sometimes the yellow and white. There's a white faction that comes in there too. That one, yellow and white, are interchangeable. And of course, the racing factions are the main, you know, teams. They're running colored these type of races in every situation. So they want the very best horses. They will have the very best doctors because they want to be successful. They're competing with the other groups, and you know, it's the breeder and the trainer that receive, you know, basically all the glory. But the Mulo Medic is the unsung hero in the whole deal here. And of course, if you go down the Appian Way in Rome, you'll see tombs for famous horse races and stuff like that. So it's, I thought you'd enjoy these two very diverse jobs, but particularly I think the Mulo Medicus in particular is fascinating to see the idea of bringing the horses in for different breeds, for different types of contests and games and things like that. Now, as far as sources for this, Daily Life in Ancient Rome by DuPont, Life and Leisure in Ancient Rome by Balsden, Working from IX to V by Lyon, For Those Who About to Die by Mannix, and The Spectacle Entertainments of Imperial Rome by Beecham. So don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and leave a comment, ask a question, and check out the CDs. Thank you very much.